Venezuela is witnessing a massive wave of anti-government demonstrations. They started out as peaceful protests, but since they began in early February, at least 12 people have died. Margarita Lopez Maya is a professor at the Central University of Venezuela and a fellow at the Wilson Center in Washington, D.C. She spoke to me over the phone from Caracas on February 26th, and the first question I asked her was, what's driving these protests?
The protests began with the student movement. But the student movement moved since the beginning of February behind the demand of security. It began in one of the cities in the interior of the country with a student that was going to suffer a violation at the university. And then the protests began there and spread to the rest of other cities. The basic motif has been the insecurity that the young people live in this country. The index of homicides in Venezuela is very high, and it affects more the young people. But as they started developing the protests, all the hardships of the rest of the population, because of the inflation, because of the different scarcities of food, because of devaluations that we have had two this year, all these things brought like a whole field of complaints and made civil society and political parties of the opposition go to take the streets also needed by the student movement. So it is very broad. It has been massive, the protests, especially the protests of February the 12th in Caracas, which was a very massive protest that was not televised, by the way. So they have been showing the videos and photos through the internet and trying to go out through the international media, because in Venezuela, it is very much controlled by the government. The hardships have been combined, of course, with the death of the president, Hugo Chavez Frias, who was a very charismatic leader. And in that vacuum, in a way, all these things came to the surface and has produced a very difficult situation for the people. People are beginning to realize all the different crises in their daily life. And the government has responded to this with repression and militarization.
Leopoldo Lopez was one of the main political figures supporting and leading the protests. He is now in jail awaiting trial for inciting violence. Was his arrest a tipping point for the protest movement?
The truth is that Leopoldo Lopez wasn't the leader of this. He is a leader of the opposition. It's another leader of the opposition that is called Maria Corina Machado. They both came from political parties. He has his own political party. She is an independent. Both of them are from the parliament. But they were accompanying the student movement. And in a way, they are part of the opposition, are the most radical part of the opposition, so to say. So it is not really precise to say that they were the leaders of this. They accompanied this, and in a way, they agreed to go to the streets, because in Venezuela today, democracy is very thin. The government controls the public powers. He controls practically the Supreme Tribune, the National Assembly, the National Electoral Council, are all subordinated to the executive. For some of the political parties of the opposition, being all these public powers held by the state and having the channels through the national media also practically controlled by the state, for some political party, not for all majority, but for some political party, the only way to get their message through was to call, to take to the streets. And so they accompanied the student movement. But who takes the lead in this protest is the student movement. So in a way, Leopoldo Lopez goes to jail because they put him responsible of what is going on. But again, I think the government is more taking advantage that he was in the streets to get him away from politics, because he is a leader that has a lot of charisma and he has a political party that is growing. Last year, the candidate of the opposition was Enrique Capriles Radosky, and they also tried to put him in jail. But the difference was that Capriles Radosky, finally, they didn't put him in jail, but Leopoldo Lopez, he himself went and said, okay, take me. So I think there is kind of a political resource there, because the government plays a lot. I'm putting you in jail, I'm putting you in jail, but then it doesn't do it, you know?
So is Capriles someone who might now take on a leadership role, and could he even enter into dialogue with President Maduro?
Well, Capriles has been the leader of the opposition because he was a candidate twice with Chavez and with Maduro. And in both campaigns, in the results of the campaign, he grew and he almost won the presidency in April the 14th of last year. So he really has been the main figure of all these forces. But you must remember that this is an alliance of forces that are more than 20 parties. And he continues to be, in a way, one of the leaders there, the most important leader that they have. This opposition alliance that is called the Democratic Unity Table, most of them would have not agreed with what Leopoldo Lopez did during the protest, to go to the streets and to try to radicalize that protest. They didn't agree with that. But since they are independent parties, he decided to do that with Maria Corina Machado, and in a way, he obliged the rest of the parties to support him. So one could say that he wasn't the main leader of the opposition, and now in jail, he probably will not be either.
And what about on the government side? How unified is the Maduro administration behind him, and how much popular support does he still have?
Well, the Chavismo is an important movement and party. It is the main party of the country. It still has, I think, a very important support. In the last elections, their performance was pretty good. Still is the main party of the country. But there is a lot of discontent. But one could have the hypothesis, because of the way he is behaving, President Maduro is behaving, that there's a lot of conflict at this moment. 2 days ago, one of the governors, for example, one of the most difficult states of the country that has been under severe stress because of the protests, the national executive has done a lot of repression there with the security corps. And 2 days ago, the governor went out to speak and to say that he is a general, he's also a military man, and he is from the party of the government, and said he did not agree with the repression that the national government was doing in his state. This is the first time somebody of that level talks out criticizing the repression that has been going on during these protests. And it just shows you that probably he is not coming out alone. He's maybe the first voice of that. So I think there's a lot of conflict. We can see also that Maduro is very incoherent and talks in a very contradictory way. One day he talks about love, and the other day he talks about this fascist rightist plotting, I'm going to put you in jail. If I have to be a dictator, I'll be a dictator. And then the next thing you know, he's talking to you about love and dialogue. So this shows, I think, in a way that they can't put their act together because probably they're having a lot of problems inside around the question of what to do with this massive protest that has now more than 15 days.
And what do you see as the way forward?
Very uncertain. The situation is very, very uncertain in Venezuela. I think the phenomena of the protests that have been developing since the beginning of February, I think it's the first time it has taken so long to control. And I think that is due, on the one part, because of the repression that has been very severe, the militarization, the criminalization of the protest, and this idea of President Maduro of associating it with some kind of international plot, very absurd. So if he continues in that policy, in that orientation of his government, probably this is going to continue very unstable. And we don't know really, because institutionally, at the moment, there's no way out of this situation.
Is there a possibility for dialogue?
The government denies the possibility of dialogue. Until now, the government refuses to dialogue. And I think the only way out really would be the beginning of a dialogue and the beginning of a recognition of the excesses in repression that they have done during these days. Of course, we have some signals. About 4 or 5 days ago, they had to dismiss some of the chiefs of the security corps because the videos and the photos show that members of the political police used their arms during a peaceful manifestation, a peaceful concentration. President Maduro does not recognize that of the 10 or 12 death toll that we have, about 7 or 8 have been are responsible, the police or the National Guard. But at the same time that he does not talk about that, he is dismissing the chiefs of these two corps of these excesses. So there are some very weak signals that there may be some kind of recognition of this, but I don't think it is enough.
Margarita, thank you for speaking with me today.